Don't often mention it, but there are offering envelopes in the back by a little box that if you have an offering or your tithe that you want to bring, it's back there. Now, before I get started this morning, as Austin was being quiet, he was inviting us to be quiet before the Lord. And the quiet and the silence is not wasted before the Lord. When Elijah was running from God and was depressed, the Lord invited him back into his presence. And he had seen and experienced various things, the wind, all kinds of things that were happening. But it was at the end that he says, then a whisper came in. He said, the Lord was in the whisper, right? What I read recently was that that word for whisper in the Hebrew was really the word silence, that the Lord was in the silence. And when God whispers or when a person whispers, what happens? We lean in, right? And normally if someone's going to whisper in your ear, they're also going to lean in. So the person speaking is leaning in and the person listening is leaning in. The Lord is speaking to you in the whisper. Don't be afraid of the whisper. Don't be afraid of the silence. The Lord is speaking. And it's an intimate moment. So those times in our worship, when it's quiet, we're waiting and we're listening. He's doing a deep work in us, in our worship time. Don't forget that. Okay? So, I'm done being quiet. Now I'm going to get loud. Does anyone know what today is? Pentecost Sunday. It happens 7 weeks or 50 days from Passover. Now, I'm going to talk about my own first Pentecost before we get started. So, you see, growing up, I grew up in the Catholic Church because that's what my parents were. They were Catholic. So from ages 1 through 11 or so, I went to church in the Catholic Church. Sometimes I went to St. Mary. Sometimes I went to St. John's. Sometimes the service was in English. Sometimes the service was in Spanish. And I went to catechism, which is like a class that Catholics go to. And then I sang in the choir. Can you believe that? And so one of those times when I was singing in the choir, it was during practice. It wasn't actually during the service. I was just singing to God with all my heart. And I didn't know who God was. I was just singing because that was the songs we were singing. But during that time, I felt this warmth just come and overwhelm me. I felt like someone had just poured a bucket of warm water all over me. I had no clue what that meant. No idea. But I knew that I had experienced something. But I never shared it with anyone in the Catholic Church. How can I share something I didn't understand? Right? And it wasn't until years later on that I understood a little bit more about what that was. At age 15, I once visited Protestant church, and there was over 1,000 people there. Okay? And I was used to a Catholic church, which you could fit a lot of people in, but not over 1,000. It was just humongous. And I heard for the first time someone speaking in tongues, and everyone got very quiet, and, you know, as the person started off, and I was sitting with my friends who were also teenagers. I said, "What's that? What's that?" And you know what they said? "Be quiet." "Shh, be quiet. Don't make a scene." You know? But again, I was 15 years old. What does a 15-year-old know, right? I didn't get it. So after the person spoke in tongues, It continued to be very quiet. And what happened next was they were waiting for an interpretation of what was being said. I found this out later because I was clueless, right? And the thing is, I was used to the idea of someone speaking in one language and then having an interpretation, because growing up as a child and as a teenager, I would go to the stores with my mom and they would say something in English and I would tell her in Spanish what they said. She would tell me in Spanish and I would tell them in English. I was used to that. But this was different. This was very, very different. So, during that time, at age 15 to 16, I attended a Spanish Mennonite church. And after 1 year of being there, I asked for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I also spoke in tongues. But I didn't understand why it was important. No one really told me why. But I did desire it. And so I had questions like, was this a one-time baptism? You know, I kind of wondered, do people only speak in tongues when they're at church? Do you only do it when the unction comes on? I didn't know, and I don't know if people had answers for me. But I do know that certain churches teach that it only happens in church, and it only happened in the unction. You know, I ran across that with some people I met from other denominations. But I had a lot of questions, and I didn't have many answers. So I just began searching. And in that Spanish Mennonite church, I met a brother who was 70-plus years old. His name was Brother Harold Wise. He didn't know a lick of Spanish, and he was in a Spanish-speaking church. Now, his wife, Hermana Sara, Sister Sarah, she knew Spanish. And they came to support this Spanish-speaking church. But the guy did know how to speak in tongues. Didn't know Spanish, but he knew how to speak in tongues. So I don't know if he could have asked for that, you know, as, you know, one of the gifts. But he didn't. And he walked in a gift called the Word of Knowledge. And that is, you receive a gift where you hear something inside of you that you wouldn't naturally know. And it always involved, in his case, physical healing for somebody. And he always felt it in his body. He says, I feel, and he would describe that part of the body, you know, whether it was the kidneys, whether it was, you know, the shoulders, the back, the eyes, you know, whatever it was. He would describe it. Says, and then he would ask the question, is there somebody here who's experiencing pain in that area? Every time somebody raised their hand, he would pray, they would get healed. And I thought, I don't know what that is, but I want it. Amen. You know, I'm a teenager, and so I spent all my time hanging out with a 70-year-old as a teenager. That's not normal. But see, this man was authentic. He was real. And I wanted what he had. And because people, I didn't meet that many people who walked with God the way he did. I was hungry for the things of the Spirit, even though I didn't understand it. So my question to you is, are you hungry for the things of God, for the things of his Spirit, or are you simply satisfied with where you are? Do you desire more? So that was my experience at church. Then after that, I moved from Ohio to Goshen, Indiana, and I began visiting Mennonite churches because that was the only thing I knew, because I was Catholic, and then I went to a Protestant church that happened to be Mennonite. I didn't know there were other denominations, so I went to Mennonite churches here in Goshen. And guess what I thought? I thought, well, all the Mennonite churches in Goshen practice speaking in tongues and recognize that the Holy Spirit is part of my inheritance. Why are you laughing? Well, I found out quickly that wasn't the case. I found out that the other churches here didn't practice what my home church did in Ohio. I didn't understand why. Again, I was a teenager. I was like 18, 19 years old. What do I know? You know? But I was, as a teenager, raised to think that being baptized in the Holy Spirit, walking in the power of the Spirit, speaking in tongues, was just normal Christian life. And so they conflicted in me. It is at that moment I realized there were some denominations that do practice this and some denominations that don't. Again, a teenager trying to reconcile what in the world does this mean? So, but why don't we look at what Jesus told the disciples at the end of Luke 24, which is the last chapter, and the beginning of Acts 1. I had to begin doing my own searching. And so he said, stay in Jerusalem and wait for the gift the Father will give you. It was very strategic that he told them to wait in Jerusalem. Why? Because the Holy Spirit fell on them at the exact time there were people from various countries visiting Jerusalem. They were there to celebrate what they call the Shavuot festival, which means weeks, right? And that was the Hebrew term. The Greek term was Pentecost. And the word Pentecost means 50 days. So this was a perfect opportunity for the people from all these countries to hear the disciples speaking in their languages. So I'm going to have someone read Luke 24, 49.
Listen carefully. I am sending the promise of my Father, the Holy Spirit, upon you, but you are to remain in the city of Jerusalem until you are clothed or fully equipped with power from on high.
Go ahead and read the next.
While being together and eating with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, of which he said, you have heard me speak.
All right. So do you believe, after you look at the two verses there, did the disciples think that Jesus was making simply a suggestion to stay in Jerusalem?
No.
No? Do you think that they could opt out of the situation of saying, you don't have to, but you probably should?
No.
Uh-uh. The word there says he commanded them to stay, right? But why Jerusalem? What did I just say before? Why Jerusalem? What was going on?
Pentecost.
Who is there?
Everyone.
People from different countries, right? Jews from different countries who spoke different languages. What would have happened if the baptism of the Holy Spirit hadn't occurred at that moment?
A lot of people would have missed out.
People would have missed out. Would the gospel have gone very far?
No.
Right? Because they got baptized, they received authority and power, and then they begin to move in the gifts of healing, just like Jesus did. Right? All right. So, what is the purpose of Pentecost? It was for God to make himself known, right? It was for God to make himself known. And that's why it was strategic that he decided to do it during this festival, right? The Jews would be visiting from many countries. They would get exposed to the gospel during one particular week, right? And then they would return to respective countries having experienced God in a whole new way. They said, oh, man, of all the Pentecost you guys didn't go, you should have gone to that one because that one was different from all the others in the past, right? See, because these Galileans were speaking about the mighty works of God to these people. And they were marveled so well. It's like, how can this be? They're telling us all these things in our languages, and we know they're Galileans. They can't speak our languages, yet they're speaking our languages. What in the world? So what is then the purpose of the Holy Spirit? Well, I mentioned 2 weeks ago that Jesus had filled the disciples by speaking to them and saying, receive the Holy Spirit, and he breathed on them. Now, what was the purpose of that particular infilling? It was because they had already experienced Jesus in the flesh. Now, it was time for them to experience Jesus in the Spirit, so that whatever intimacy they had together when he was in body form, they could experience now without his body there, but yet hearing God's voice, experiencing him living in their hearts. So what's the difference between what took place in John 20 and what's occurring in Acts 2? Well, I would say this. In John 20, they received the Spirit of God on the inside. Before that point, people didn't really have the Spirit of God inside of them. There were a few exemptions to that, like that you would see in the Old Testament. But now, they were going to receive a baptism of fire, a purifying fire. So then what is the purpose of this baptism? Well, I would say, number one, it was to bring a conviction of what they believed, a conviction of their faith, so they would know that they would know, this is what I believe, and I'm not going to be shy about it. The second thing was, this baptism created a boldness in them, in the believer, right? And the third thing was, the believer would use the power of this baptism to benefit others. It wasn't to be, it's all about me. No, it's about benefiting other people. Jesus told the disciples in Acts 1, verse 8, it says, but you will receive power and ability when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Power and ability to do what?
Minister.
To minister, right? That could be, yep, that's exactly what you could say. To do what Jesus did. Now, Peter was going to need the ability and wisdom to know what to say, because you know what? He was in front of a crowd of thousands and thousands of people. And we know that from the Gospel of John, it says that Peter denied Jesus 3 times. To servant girls. He was afraid of a girl. Okay? Now, it wasn't just because she was a girl, but it was because he was afraid that he was going to get killed next. But now he had a boldness to speak in front of thousands and thousands, and we're talking probably 5,000 or more of people, right? How do we know that? Because out of those thousands of people, at least 3,000 got saved that day. How do you preach a sermon, your first sermon? I did my wedding, my first wedding, right? That we talked about with Tasha, and I was nervous. I was nervous about doing that wedding. And when the ceremony was done, I was like, I'm going to go to the celebration, to the reception, and I'm not going to be thinking about any responsibilities. I'm just there to eat my food, have my cake, and just have a good time. But these guys, he was in front of thousands and thousands and leaders, right? And so, but you see, it was not Peter's speaking talents or abilities that got these 3,000 saved, right? You know what got him saved? His sensitivity and his submission to the Holy Spirit's guidance as he was speaking. That's what got the 3,000 saved. Because the Holy Spirit told them what to say. Now, in terms of power, Jesus told the disciples, you guys are going to do the same works, and you're going to do greater works than what I did on the earth. I just showed you a few, but there are going to be more. What are those greater works? The scripture's up there, but here are the greater works. That the blind will see, the lame will walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the gospel is preached to the poor. That means that Jesus is expecting you and you and you and you and you and all of you to do those very same things and greater works. Are you up for that?
Amen.
Because here's my question. How many of you, raise your hands if you can answer this question. How many of you given blind to the sight? Given the sight, blind their sight? Okay. How many of you have given the deaf their hearing? Have you caused the lame to walk? Have you raised the dead? So it looks like you guys are all in the same boat that I'm in. Because I haven't done these things, but I want to. I want to walk in those things that Jesus walked in. You know why? Because it's my inheritance. And you know what else? It's your inheritance as well. It's your inheritance as well. So, you know, if you look at the Gospel of Matthew, the very last chapter, it's interesting what Jesus said. He said, therefore, go and make disciples. Before the therefore was a reason to say therefore, right? He says, all authority has been given to me. Now I'm going to give it to you. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He didn't just say baptize them in the name of Jesus. He didn't say just baptize them in the name of the Father. And he didn't say baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Bible. Right? He said, baptize them in the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Spirit. See, because those three are one. The three are one. See, Jesus came to reveal the Father. The Holy Spirit came to reveal Jesus. And if you want to know more about that, you can read chapters 14, 15, and 16 in the book of John. So today I'm asking you, as followers of Jesus, if you're a follower of Jesus, do you want all of your inheritance that the Holy Spirit wants to offer and reveal to you?
Yes.
Or do you just want some parts of it? Do you want to select? Do you want to pick? You know? It's like, you know, when you go to Panera, you just pick two. Right? So. Jesus said, and these signs will follow those who believe. It does not say, and these signs will follow only the apostles, only the leaders. He said, to those who believe. So if you believe, you have access to those things. Do you believe you can walk as Jesus walked? Do you believe that you can do what Jesus did on the earth? It takes faith. It takes belief. It takes steps. It may not happen right away, but you can grow in it. I didn't know I could, you know, heal somebody if I prayed for them in Jesus' name, but I learned to do that. That happened last Sunday, even. Right? We took the pain level from a 10, from a 9 out of 10, 10 being the highest, going down to 0 in a matter of minutes. It wasn't me, but it was Jesus using me to do it. It was using my wife to do it. So, today I'm not really emphasizing the speaking in tongues, though I could, because that is part of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's not today's focus, because there's so much to talk about this. But if it happens with people, that's great. And if it doesn't, I've told people in the past when I've prayed for them, I said, don't make it such a big deal. Don't make it happen. You don't have to perform today. I had one Korean friend, remember that? And I would say, if it happens to your wife and it doesn't happen to you, you go home, you get somewhere quiet, and you just begin to ask the Lord. Ask the Lord every day. And he did. And a week later, he came back to class and he says, it happened. Fernando, it happened. Oh, yeah? Were you alone? Yeah. See? No pressure. The Lord gave it to you. And that wasn't, you know, it's not the only thing, but yeah, the Lord gave it to you. It doesn't happen to people the same way nor at the same time for everyone. So again, I say, don't put pressure on you. And so I'm inviting you, if you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to ask you to come up front if you're ready for that. If you're not ready for that, I have no qualms, okay? But I want you to receive more of what God wants for you in a new way and in a new measure. So, today is about inviting the person of the Holy Spirit into your life. So, if that is you, I would ask you to come up front and line up facing the this place here. And we're going to pray. There's a prayer we're going to put up on the screen. And I don't want just the person up front to pray this. I want all of you to pray that. You can pray that from your seats. I'm not really concerned that you're up here or there. But, you know, sometimes a spiritual thing happens when we physically obey the Lord, when we physically take a step, right? Whether it's standing, coming up front, or raising your hand, okay? So, would you pray this prayer with me? Father, right, Father, I surrender full control of my life to you. I ask you even now to fill me to overflowing with your Spirit, just as you promised to do if I asked according to your will. I ask this in the name of Jesus and believe that you are pouring out your Spirit upon me right now. Amen. So just even in your seats, you can raise your hands and say, I want more of you. I want more of you. Mm-hmm.